I want to call to order the banquet for the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention. All right. Yay. Before I turn it over to your MC for the evening, we want some quiet. Quiet. The gentleman two places down from me, who happens to be the first vice president, quiet. Okay. For our invocation, I give to you CCB Secretary Artis Basin.
Okay, we had to figure out the mic here. Hello, everyone. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we could gather tonight to fellowship together, to think about all the progress we've made through the years, and to develop closer friendships with everyone. Help us to complete our business tomorrow in a way that would be best served by all of us. Be with each of us for the rest of the convention and help us to have a delicious meal and hope it nourishes our bodies. In thy name we pray, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Artis. Okay, I'm gonna introduce your MC and I'm gonna tell you a little known fact about Frank Welty. Now we all know that he's a board member and we all know that he holds many, many hats. He's the outgoing president of Guide Dog Users of California and this and that and the other thing. But he's got this reputation of being this clean cut guy from the Central Valley who made it to the Bay Area. But you may not have known that in college, down at Cal State Stanislaus, or whatever they call it, he flunked chemistry.
He did what?
Now, you might want to know why he flunked chemistry. Well,
flunked chemistry?
The final came up, and he and some of his buddies decided they would rather party than take the final. So they went and had a good old time, and they came back the day after the final, and they said, oh, they went to the professor, the four of them, and said, we had a flat tire. And so, do you think you could let us take the final? And the professor said, oh, sure, not a problem. So he puts them all in separate rooms, and they open the book, and the first question is, for 5 points, why did you miss the final? And they were all, oh, we know that, flat tire. They turned the page, and the next question was, which tire for 95 points? And that's how Frank Welty, RMC, flunked chemistry. Frank, take it away.
I told them to say we changed the spare tire. What can I tell you? I was not in the best of condition for that final. Do you have any idea how many milkshakes I had to drink to get in that condition? I know some of you guys are probably thinking, wow, these guys are up at the head table. Is that cool or what? Let me tell you the truth. Now, you think you're jealous about not being up here at the head table? Let me put it to you this way. You ever been on one of those little budget airlines where you have about 56 people crammed into a 6-foot-long tube? That's how we feel. Well, that's kind of how we feel up there. We've got like 14 of us squeezed onto this little table up here. And believe me, you have more elbow room. So here at the table, and I'm going from your right to my left. What did I just say?
You're right.
It's been a long way. No, you're right. Your right, my left, so from right to left, from your point of view, from your right to your left, that's better.
Oh, it's going to be a great evening. Give him a glass Woo. Of water.
Gene Burkhart and Pam Pology. Pam Pology, of course, is our wonderful credentials and nominating committee chair. And to their left is Kevin Burkery and our new CCB treasurer officially, Artis Mason. Secretary. I was up late last night, folks. Secretary. Our first vice president, I'm on a roll here, Jean Lozano. CCB first lady, Leslie Tom. CCB president, Jeff Tom. ACB president, Kim Charlson. ACB first guy, Brian Charlson. Brain dead Frank Welty. ACB board member Pam Metz. I told you I'm brain dead. Guide Dog Users of California President Ken Metz. CCB First Vice President, Second Vice President, they're all over the place. Second Vice President Judy Wilkinson. And CCB Governmental Affairs Committee member Steve Mendelson. Great group up here.
I've never been in a bigger head table.
This is quite a crew here. All right. Now, we're going to come to the part of the program that you like the best. I'm not naive. It's time for us to eat. So we will be back with you in a bit. Is everybody enjoying your dinner? Me too, but it kind of scared me. Yeah, my dinner kind of scared me tonight. You want to know why? Okay. I ordered the vegetarian dinner. You know, I'm not like a super hard vegetarian or anything, but I kind of like the variety. So I ordered the vegetarian. And they first tried to bring me the meat dish. I said, no, I want the vegetarian. And they brought it, or they eventually had brought it. But while they were bringing it to me, somebody from the wait staff came up to me and asked me to give them my last name. And that kind of scares me. Is it like, wait a minute, does that mean that if you order vegetarian in this hotel, that gets you on somebody's watch list? You know, I set up a super shuttle for tomorrow afternoon after the board meeting, and now I'm kind of wondering, when I get on that vehicle, are they going to, like, is the vehicle that pull up going to be like a van that has no windows in it, and they're going to say, sir, we're going to take you downtown now and ask you some questions because we understand you ordered vegetarian. I don't know. Could be interesting tomorrow. Gee, I wonder if they do vegetarian in federal prison. I don't know. Now, anyway, though, this very good dinner. I enjoyed it very much. And we're going to come to a part of the dinner, of the banquet, that for at least one person is more enjoyable even than dessert. And that person is Peter Pardini. Because it's time for donations. So we're going to make Peter's evening tonight. And we're going to start with Ed Branch is going to read off some donations we've received so far. And then after he does that, if you have a donation you want to make, stand up and Ed will get you and bring you up so you can make your donation. So Ed, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Bayview Chapter, $200 to the CCB General Fund and $100 to the CCB General Scholarship Fund. Wow. Fresno Chapter, $50 to the CCB General Fund. Silicon Valley Chapter, $200 to the CCB General Scholarship Fund. And that's what we had received prior to convention. Please raise your hand or stand if you have a donation to give now. I see one hand at the head table.
All right. And I actually have the first donation to be added this evening.
Thank you.
Oh, you have one there. Okay, go ahead.
Good evening. This is Pam Pology, president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter. And we're honored and privileged to be able to contribute $200 to the general fund and $200 to the scholarship fund. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Okay, Ed, why don't you go ahead and get the next one?
This is Charles Navarrete from the East LA chapter. We're donating $100 to the general fund.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I don't see any other hands, Frank.
Okay, I want to thank those of you who've donated. Again, we know that fundraising is hard work. And we know that when you chapters donate to CCB, that's the result of your sweat and your effort, and we don't take that for granted. We have one more donation, and this is coming to us from the Lily Perry Foundation. For those of you that don't know about the Lily Perry Foundation, it's an entity that is related to CCB. It has a three-member board. The board chair is Jeff Tom. The secretary is some skinny guy named Frank Welty. And the board treasurer is Avi Schumann. And it's my privilege to produce a check from the Lily Perry Fund, and I'm going to give it to Ed, and Ed can tell you how big it is. $3,000 for our scholarship. For the general scholarship fund, yes. Yes, thank you very much. I told you that Peter would like that part. Dropped my paper. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Speaking of scholarship fund, now we're going to tell you how we deplete the scholarship fund, because we're going to talk about scholarships, and to do that is Jeff Tom.
Okay, I'm just going to talk for a moment. We're going to turn it over in a few minutes to our very busy man at this convention, our scholarship committee chair, Robert Wendt. But before we do, we want you to hear a little bit about Active Blind Incorporated. It's a nonprofit that works with CCB and provides funding for a number of the scholarship winners, including some of those you're going to hear from tonight. And to tell us a little bit about Active Blind, we have two individuals from the Glendale Burbank chapter, John Mavis, and someone who I think my wife has known for a long, long time, Frank Tucker. Let's hear it for the two of them and for Active Blind.
Thank you very much. I'm John Mavis, and have been a member of Active Blind for like 55 years, off and on. I want to do something a little different, since we're a bunch of blind people here. We don't see through our eyes too well, but we do through our ears. So I'd like to introduce my guests with me to help out, to take care of this matter. My wife, Linda Keeney, here she is. She will say hi to you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Linda Keeney. I used to be a rehabilitation counselor for the state of California. Thank you very much. 20 years dedicated. I'd like to give you a thought for the day. Always try to do your best. And what I want to tag onto that is, right now while you're going to school, please earn those A's and B's, because the C's and D's won't make it when you're competing in the sighted world, when you're looking for a job. Believe me, I know. Okay.
No. Not just you.
Is it because we're on this side of the speakers?
No, no.
Also, I have two other members here. I'll pass the mic over there when it's their turn to talk. I just want to give you a brief explanation of what Active Mind, how it got started and where it went. Many years ago, it was known as the L.A. County Club. And in the late 50s, a gentleman that went to college in Chicago in the 30s and early 40s graduated and got a job in a factory in Buffalo, New York. And he saved all his money up as much as he could. But then his vision got bad in 1953-54. His name was Tony Menino. And Tony then came to California where his sisters and brothers were. He went down to Braille Institute and he met a bunch of other old folks and wound up setting up the Active Blind and the California Council for the Blind in a nonprofit organization. So that's why, you know, we have a nonprofit now on fundraising and so forth. We don't have the tax burdens. Also, he came by his money by saving it up and buying stock. He would buy 1,000 shares at 10 cents a piece back in the 40s and then sell it for a dollar when the price went up on it. And he kept doing this over and over. So he got many, many dollars, excuse me, put aside, and that's how they got the scholarships going. And Mr. Tucker will tell you more about how that works out with the presenting of the scholarships. Thank you. And here is his wife, Sherry Tucker. She'll pass it to Roger.
Hello, I'm Shirley Tucker, wife of Franklin Tucker. I'm also a member of the Active Blind and the Glendale Burbank CCB chapter, and this is my husband, Franklin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The primary mover in all of this is the nephew of Tony Menino. His wife, Frances Menino, wrote a lengthy article extolling the virtues of her husband in 2010. So if any of you are interested in Tony Menino, you might look up the article by Frances Menino. I think it was written in the spring of 09 or early 10. As John said, Tony was an excellent example of education and his success, primarily because he had the fire to have to know. He wanted to know. He had the ambition to do something with the knowledge that he gained. And that's what we need, we all need, constantly and continually. But knowledge is not always enough. We also must go out and be able to have the desire to do something and to cooperate that knowledge with other people. No man, no woman is successful by themselves. Tony had help. We all have had help. You have help. And that help is critical in our development. But unfortunately, we think of help as stopping with us, and that we are not contributing to others. When we involve ourselves with others, either in a group like here in CCB or Active Blind, that's wonderful. But it is restricting, because we need to move beyond ourselves so that we can make an opportunity for others to follow in the area of our success. So we need not only education, we need a further education of our, I call, our spirit. The spirit of wanting to be involved with other people. It's not only learned, it's innate, but it can grow, and you can help it grow by helping yourself to be involved not only with the blind, but with other groups as well. Because circumstances have changed over the years, we need now to involve ourselves with other groups, fraternities, sororities, organizations, the scouts, whatever organizations there are, because we need one thing. There are three things which are important: education, and not just education, but also the ability to interact, the ability to work with other people. You can do that best by volunteering for various programs, because the other thing besides education is, who do you know? Who knows you? Who knows enough about you to care whether or not you succeed? Only you can decide that, and only you can promote that. Of course, the corollary is the final step, is who knows you? Just to say that I know someone is not enough. You can go to banquets, you can go to various functions, and you meet them and they say, hello, and how are you? You can say, oh, I know so-and-so. That's true, you do know them, but do they know you? Can they come up to you and say, hi, John, or Joan, or Ralph, or Martin? How is life treating you? What are you doing? Tell me about something in your life. Then they're beginning to know you as a person. And when they know you, they can want to help you. And once they know you and want to help you, they can help those who are with you. So be sure that you not only worry about your education, be sure you worry about who you know and who knows you. May God bless each of you, and a special invitation from our present leader, John Catalano, who is a nephew of Tony Menino. He would like each of the students who have received scholarships from this organization to attend our November meeting on November 14th at Marie Callender's on Wilshire Boulevard from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. You're cordially invited, and we hope that each of you who can attend will attend. If you would like, you can take down the John Catalano's number. Please call him and let him know that you will be there. Area code 626-369-1497. 626-369-1497. Thank you for the opportunity of talking with you, and we look forward to seeing you next year.
Very much, sorry. Thank you very much to Frank, to John, to all of you there representing Active Blind. And now to tell us and bring you some of our scholarship winners, I'm going to turn it over to our scholarship chair, Let's hear it for Robert Wendt.
I'm going to keep this short. I want the people that were here, you know, part of the reason we're here is to acknowledge those folks. So I would really like to have you hear from each of our scholarship winners. That'll only take a moment, but I want you to hear the voice and know who you're helping.
Hi, my name is Alfredo Hogan. I'm a full-time programmer and database developer. I go to SDSU, and I should be getting my MBA in information systems this December. So.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Zhao. I'm a sophomore at UC Berkeley. And I am a cognitive science major, and I just want to thank every single person on the scholarship board who deemed me worthy to receive this money.
Hello, my name is Danny Vang, and I'm currently a sophomore at California State University, Fresno. I'm majoring in social work and minoring in political science. And I also want to thank the scholarship committee members as well for selecting me, but also for everyone else that just attended this event. Thanks for the support, and hopefully all of you have fun tonight.
Hello, I'm Greg Hoffman. I'm a junior at Cal State San Marcos, and I just wanted to say how grateful I am to AVID and Active Blind and CCB for making this scholarship available. It's even more significant because I just learned that my donation is coming from the Burbank chapter, which is where I was born. So thank you very much to John and Frank and Linda and Shirley. Yeah.
Hello. Hello, my name is Brittany Embry, and I go to Cal State University, Dominguez Hills in Carson, and I'm majoring in sociology, hoping to be a rehab counselor after getting my master's in social work. And I want to thank CCB because this is the second scholarship I have received from them. I am a junior, and I hope to join the organization soon.
Okay. All right.
Hello, my name's Manja. I'm a senior at Cal State Northridge, and I want to say thank you for the scholarship.
Good evening. My name is Tajay Singleton. First of all, I'd like to give the obvious thanks to everybody that made this possible in the first place. You guys are awesome. I'm majoring in engineering physics at Pasadena City High School. Hoping, Pasadena College, yes. hoping to transfer out by the end of this semester, and by the end of my school education, being able to work in the national laboratories to help pioneer society towards a better future.
That's everyone in attendance.
My name is Ed Crespin. I'm not Katie Todd, obviously, but she couldn't make it tonight because of physical complications and disability. But I'm very proud to accept her award for her, not only as a rehab counselor, but because she belongs to our chapter. She's a very active member. She's going into social work, and she's going to be really dynamic, and she really appreciates the funds that she gets. And make sure you folks who are receiving the scholarship funds, let your counselors know, hey, this is not countable income. This is your money.
All right, Robert, I want to thank you. Do you have anything else you want to add? Okay, Frank, it's back to you.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to all of the scholarship winners. That's quite an accomplishment.
We all know that the California Council of the Blind is built on the backs of our chapters. We are as strong as our chapters are strong. And so it's appropriate that at this time we celebrate the successes of chapters here in CCB, because whenever one of our chapters succeed, we all succeed. And to lead us in that celebration is CCB Secretary and Membership Committee Chair Artis Bazin.
I always like to see chapters succeed. So, okay, I'm giving the Membership Growth Awards to the two chapters who did the best in the last year. The winner of the Membership Growth Award for the highest percentage of growth went to the Long Beach chapter. Yay. They increased their membership by a little over 30%.
All right.
And the chapter with the highest number of members, new members, was the Silicon Valley chapter. They increased their membership by 12 members. We do have another award that we give occasionally, but we haven't had anybody send in a project that they've done as a chapter to receive the Chapter of the Year Award. And I'd like to encourage all chapters to do a project with the whole chapter involved. And I have heard of projects that chapters have done, many good ones, but they don't submit anything to us. So we can't give an award unless you submit something. So if there's something that you've done this year, make sure you submit it next year by February 15, and then we can give that award. We haven't given it for, I think it's been at least 3 years or so. So I'd encourage you to do that. And also I'd encourage you to keep working on your membership building. If you need any help, remember the membership committee is here to help you. Thanks.
Well, Artis, I think you'd better get ready for next year on that Chapter of the Year Award, because we had a great discussion on projects during our leadership track session this afternoon, and we had some great ideas talked about. So look out. I think some great things are coming out of our chapters.
Frank, Artis has a little more to do.
Oh.
But before she does that, I want to give a shout out to a few folks. I hope she's listening, along with one or two sons of hers, maybe. Let's hear it for Kathy Skivers, who often listens. This may be the first convention that they've missed in probably since before I was born. Let's hear a shout out for a couple people that I know we really all miss an awful lot. Roger Peterson and Bernice Kandarian. Yay! Okay, let's turn it back to Artis for the completion of her membership duties.
We wanted to recognize five people who've gotten life memberships in the last 5 years that have not been recognized previously. One is Frank Welty. One is Sheila, all of a sudden I lost the last
name. Sheila Gunn Cushman.
Sheila Cushman. Did her finish? She did it on a payment plan.
Yep.
She did a payment plan and completed her payment plan last year. The next one, of course, I know very well, Kevin Berkery. And then I also did mine. And then last but definitely not least, Leslie Tom. So I challenge the rest of you, get a life membership. If you want to be a life member, you can do it tonight. Just give Peter your $200. and if you cannot afford to pay $200 all at once, we do have a payment plan, and you'll be recognized once you complete your payments up to $200. Thanks.
Artist, thank you very much. Sorry about stepping on your line there a minute ago. You surprised me. We're not done with the celebration. We have other things to celebrate in this fine organization. And to carry on the great news of celebration is CCB's new second vice president, Judy Wilkinson. Hey.
Thank you. Tonight, I am privileged to represent my colleagues on the publication committee. This committee works incredibly hard all year long. And the happiest moment for us is when we get to announce our Blind California Writing Awards. And of course, as editor, I'm personally really delighted to be here doing this. The first award is for the best issue-oriented article of 2014. Yes, we're almost at the end of 2015, but this is our first convention. This award goes to an important article that was written last year about movie going. Is James Forbes in the room?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me read the plaque that will be sent to James. California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Issue Oriented Article of 2014, to James Forbes for The Road to Accessible Movie Going, The Blind Californian Summer 2014 issue, presented this third day of October 2015, Woodland Hills, California. Congratulations, James.
Yeah. Great plot.
We received so many wonderful articles on lifestyle awards that we are, for the first time, I think, certainly in my knowledge, issuing two plaques, two awards. And I'm pretty sure one of the recipients is in the room. Did anybody in this room write an article about growing up in Vietnam? Tuan, are you in the room?
Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Tuan, let me read you the plaque that you will receive. and we'll have someone bring it to you, and then you certainly will be delighted to hear you have a few words. This award says, California Council of the Blind, Publications Award, Best Lifestyle Article of 2014, 2, Tuan Nguyen, 4, My Story, Differences in Cultural Attitudes Toward Blindness and Literacy, the Blind Californian Spring 2014 issue, presented this third day of October 2015, Woodland Hills, California. Congratulations, Tuan!
Is that the right one?
Give the man a mic.
I don't know what to say. It's my humble and my big surprise that I did not expect to get this award, but I can change my story about my life in Vietnam, and I hope all of you have read it and find it very, very inspirational. And I don't know what to say anymore, and thank you very much for this great award, and I'm completely honored, and I thank you, CCB Board, and the CCB Publication Committee. Thank you very much.
I fear our next recipient may not be in the room either. How many of you like to go camping? This award goes to former CCB board member Eric Smiley. Eric, are you in the room? I didn't think so. Let me read you Eric's plaque. California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Lifestyle Article of 2014, 2, Eric Smiley, 4, Looking Forward to Camping Season, the Blind Californian Spring 2014 issue, presented this third day of October 2015, Woodland Hills, California. We will see that Eric and James get their awards, but give me one more moment to ask you all to remember that you could be getting this award. And ultimately, it isn't about the awards. It's about sharing your experiences. And you'll be seeing from what both Jeff Tom and I have to say in our articles in this next issue of the BC, which is coming out soon, that we really look forward to your submissions. The Publications Committee loves this part of their job, so give us some wonderful things to do. Thank you very much.
That was great. That was great articles and great work by the committee. Well, here we are in Southern California in the greater LA area. L.A., the biggest city west of the Hudson. Yes, big town. We do things big down here, don't we? This is such a big town. This is such a big area. It's too big for one baseball team. They've got two. Too big for one basketball team. They've got two. And it's too big for one keynote speaker. We've got two. Representing the state of Massachusetts, the state of Oregon, the state of being really cool people, and the state of the American Council of the Blind, ACB President Kim Charlson and first ACB man. I'm trying. Brian Charlson.
Dude. Yeah,
Here. I'm getting a suggestion for first ACB dude.
That's right. No, I'm good. Thank you, Frank. So, Brian always tells me that he's not the first man, he's the first dude. So we have to be respectful of his title, don't we? So, when Jeff reached out to me a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, I really feel bad asking you. You're doing 3 presentations throughout our convention, but, you know, could you do the banquet address? And I said, well, I don't think that's a problem, but maybe we should do something different. And so I said, how about if Brian and I both talk to you as your banquet speakers? Now, there was a time in my life when you never would have seen me having a shared banquet address with Brian. For the longest time, I was like, I'm my own person. I am not going to share the podium with you. But, so I, you know, and but, and so we've kind of had this rule in the Charleston household that when one person serves on a board, the other one kind of steps back a little bit. And as you all know, Brian had a long career in ACB as an officer, and I was not involved until 2007, when I think this gentleman from California ran for president of ACB, named Mitch Pomerantz, and he talked to me about considering running for first vice president. And so we've kind of shared and supported each other, but not necessarily been on boards at the same time. But a few years ago, someone asked us to speak to a group of university students about technology. It was actually for a library science program. And so I was supposed to talk about library services, and he was going to talk about technology. Seemed like a good fit. So we did the presentation, and we got rave reviews. People liked hearing from both of us. So I certainly hope tonight that we might get rave reviews, and you liked hearing from both of us, a little variety. So and I'm only going to tell one joke. So you're probably pretty glad about that. I generally don't remember punchlines. So, but this is for ACB Radio, and you got to have an ACB Radio joke. So, and it has to do with two antennas. The two antenna joke. That two antennas were getting married, and somebody said, "Well, you know, how was the service?" And I said, well, I don't know. The service was nice, but the reception was great. So, that's my joke. We're done now. No. I hope we can say the same for ACB Radio. What Brian and I are going to do is tag team a little bit on our presentation, and we're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to continue a theme that was talked about at the Guide Dog Users of California luncheon today, and that was about international travel. So I wanted to talk a little bit. Mitch and I represent the American Council of the Blind on the World Blind Union North American Caribbean Region Board. Mitch actually serves as vice chair of our regional board. And the World Blind Union is an organization that ACB belongs to, and we play an important role in that organization. There are 7 regions around the globe with representatives from consumer and service provider organizations. And in 2016, the World Blind Union will be holding their first General Assembly in the United States in August of 2016 in Orlando, Florida. So we're looking forward to that opportunity. There's generally about 1,500 delegates from 140 countries. And several days of presentations about issues and concerns of blind people from around the world. So sometimes we talk about issues that have been on the agenda here this weekend. Employment, education, rehabilitation, emergency preparedness for people with disabilities, all these same kind of issues but with a more international consideration. And it's sometimes the issues are very, you know, we think we've got issues here in this country, but there are so many people who are blind in this world. It's estimated that 4 million children who are blind or visually impaired do not have an opportunity to have an education. So those are the kinds of things, really global kinds of issues that we talk about and try to work with in the World Blind Union. So one of the issues that our region in particular, which is the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean, those are a lot of islands, and they collectively belong to the World Blind Union through the Caribbean Council of the Blind. So we've been talking with them, the Caribbean Council and the World Blind Union, about guide dog access to Caribbean islands. Those of you who have dogs can relate that it's challenging because every island has different rules. And we've tried to do some, you know, kind of coordination with some of the organizations, and it just hasn't necessarily worked out. But at least some of the islands that at one time had regulations and laws in place where there you could not bring your guide dog have changed their laws. And Antigua is an example of that. And this past June, we had a regional meeting in Antigua. Now, I know you're all saying, well, that means Mitch and Kim got to go to the Caribbean. Ooh, that was hard. It was a very beautiful trip. And I took my dog, Dolly, and I did the paperwork, and we heard a lot about some countries require quite a bit of paperwork, others don't. Antigua wasn't too bad. I had some international travel certificate and things like that. But what really surprised me, and I've never had this happen, and maybe I was had, but that who knows, I have been in countries around the world where I had to pay for me to get out, like an exit tax. So it was a good thing I saved a little money in my wallet to take care of that. But when I was arriving in Antigua, the quarantine officer came and looked at Dolly's papers, and he said, "Very nice. You're one of the first people with a service dog to visit our country. We're really excited about this. And because of that, I'm only going to charge you $80. And I said, "For what?" And it was, "Well, it's the entrance and exit fee for your dog." I said, "Is there one for me?" And he said, "No, just your dog." So we had a one-day meeting in Antigua, and part of that meeting was a very special, basically almost like a state dinner, where the highest-ranking British leader for the island, I think they call him the Governor General, was the honored guests, and senators, some representatives, and heads of agencies were present. And knowing that, you know, I was there with Dolly, and they didn't have very many, you know, guide dogs in the country, but I had no problems with, you know, taxis or anything. It was quite good. And we got to the dinner, and we all sat at a table, and we were getting settled, and someone comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder. And they said, "Pardon me, madam. You cannot be in this room with your dog." And I said, "Oh, but what do you mean?" You know, I play a little bit dumb here. It works sometimes. And she said, "Well, we have a policy. We do not let dogs into this building."
Oh, well, I don't know anything about your policy, but I would recommend that you go up to the gentleman at the head table named Tony and talk to him. And he's the first vice president of the Caribbean Council of the Blind, and I'm sure he'll take care of things. So off she went to talk to Tony. And Tony, she got up there and she said, we have a problem. The lady with the dog, we need to move her to the patio because she cannot be in this dining room with her dog. And Tony said, oh, really? I didn't know your patio was that big. If you move her to the patio, you're going to have to move all of us to the patio. So she went away. She says, well, and off she went. Didn't come back until dessert. And I didn't hear anything from anybody else throughout the whole meal. Right before we left to go back and board the bus to get back to the hotel, someone said, well, it was because of the Governor General. And I said, well, I don't know why. Maybe he doesn't like dogs. I don't know. But so when we left table by table, and we got a little signal, okay, your table can leave now. So I got up, and I walked out with Dolly and, you know, along with everybody else. Everything was good. When I got in the bus, somebody came up after me and they said, Governor General, thank you. he was watching you walk by and he smiled. So then all the people that were, you know, sponsoring the dinner smiled and they were all happy because he smiled. So it was. But I got back to the hotel and I had to take quite a bit of ribbing from my other WBU colleagues because they said, do you know that you almost caused an international incident with you and Dolly? So while Mitch and I were going to meetings, there were a couple other people traveling with us, Donna and Brian, that had a little bit of an adventure and they did some interesting things, and Brian's going to tell you about that.
See, we laughingly say in Massachusetts that Kim is kind of the U.S. News and World Report person, and I'm kind of the People Magazine person. So Donna and I, you know, your shopper par excellence here in California, and I had an opportunity to hire a driver to take us into town. And one of the great parts of that trip was he had to wear one of those chauffeur caps. Now, a chauffeur cap on a guy in the Caribbean can hide all kinds of things. And in this particular case, it hid dreadlocks that extended down well past his waist. And he was told he must keep his hat on in his official capacity. And it was pretty warm down there. So we felt bad for him, and we finally tickled his funny bone enough that he pulled over, took it off, took the hat off and let us take a look at the dreads. But anyway, eventually we got down into the shopping district, and in typical touristy fashion, if you turned left when you got to the shopping district, you got to those real fancy, expensive shops that you can find in virtually any expensive high-end mall in the United States, right? That's where the cruise people go, right? And then you turn the other direction and you get to see, you know, handicrafts and things along those lines. Well, we made a left instead of a right, so we saw all of those shops we had seen several other times elsewhere. But eventually we retraced our steps to where we could go over to that part that was shopping for trinkets and that kind of stuff. And after we extricated ourselves from the booth behind the booth behind the booth behind the booth behind the booth with the lady with the needles and the all the handmade clothes, all of which looked pretty much alike, but after we extricated ourselves from there, we went up to a restaurant on a rooftop, had a lovely pineapple smash. It's non-alcoholic, sorry about that. But very tasty nonetheless. Very tasty nonetheless. And because we were going to be heading back quite a distance back to the hotel, we decided to visit the restroom. And while I'm standing outside the restrooms waiting for my turn, there's a lady there who speaks excellent English and the like, as they do mostly in the Caribbean. And she said, hi, and you waiting for the restroom? Yeah, me too. all that good stuff. And she says, you know, you're the second blind person I've ever met. And I said, that's terrific. I'm glad to expand your education a bit here. Most of us blind people do stand outside of restrooms like pretty much everybody else. It's not a disability thing. And she laughed and she says, and I said, so who is the other blind person you know here from the islands? And she says, well, kind of. I said, kind of. Well, he's from here, but he's actually up in New York City. What Kim didn't tell you is that one of her colleagues at the Perkins School for the Blind for many, many years was a gentleman named Aubrey Webson. He was in charge of international programs at Perkins. And when they had presidential elections in Antigua, his college roommate was elected president and got on the phone and asked if his college buddy would like to be Antigua's ambassador to the UN. So he accepted that post. And he's been after us for years to go to Antigua and stay with his family down there. So we finally get a chance to go to Antigua. I meet a woman who knows him standing outside of a bathroom down in the shopping district. And guess where Aubrey was? In Boston, watching his daughter graduate from high school. So we swapped places and never saw him down in Antigua. It's the very nature of the world. It's a very, very small place. And if you're involved in blindness in one form or another, that smallness comes to rest many, many times during the course of your international travels or domestic travels, for that matter. Now, Kim mentioned Antigua as one of the places we've gone. And this year, although there are many years where you don't do any international traveling in ACB's name, this year we did it twice. The second time was just a few weeks back when we went to São Paulo, Brazil. Anybody been to Brazil? Well, when I grew up, Brazil was that place that had the Amazon jungle, right? Isn't that what you think of? But Brazil is an incredibly long country, north to south. In fact, it's the longest country on the planet. And if you were to fly down to Brazil, to the northern third, you would be talking Amazon jungle. But São Paulo is in the southern third. And now we're talking very much like Southern California in terms of the climate. Now, you take Southern California and you take the world's fourth largest city, a city four times the size of New York, and every bit as urban as New York. We are talking skyscrapers, we're talking smog, we're talking lots and lots of taxi drivers. Uber, by the way, was just barred from São Paulo. I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they made that decision down there. And it was a fascinating place. And I'm going to tell you one Dolly story of my own. Wow. While we were there, we mostly ate at restaurants nearby the hotel. Kim had to go to meetings translated from Portuguese, meetings translated from Spanish, and meetings sometimes translated from English. While she was doing that, so of course we were doing shopping and touristy kinds of things. But we mostly ate in the two restaurants nearest outside our hotel and a little 7-Eleven type stores where we bought the things we wanted to eat between meals. And we were out there one day, and up drove a truck delivering Brazil's second favorite soft drink. Now, their favorite soft drink, you can well imagine, is Coca-Cola, right? But their second favorite soft drink, which is a citrus-based soft drink, is called Dolly. So we got a wonderful picture of Kim and Dolly in front of a Dolly delivery truck in front of our hotel. You would have thought we would have brought back pictures of jungle life. No. Delivery trucks and Dolly the dog. Now, while we were there, we got great opportunities to see what blindness is all about in Brazil. And Kim is going to tell you a little bit about a tour that we took of the primary agency in São Paulo, Brazil.
So I just want to speak briefly about what I was doing there. I wasn't always shopping, and Brian was shopping mostly, but
So I represent the North American Caribbean region on a group, a subset of the World Blind Union called the World Braille Council. And this is a group that, it's not talking about unifying Braille or the code or anything like that. It's more overarching kinds of issues that are universally applicable, whether it's an English-speaking country or French or Spanish or somewhere else in the world. So we talk a lot about the promotion of Braille, making more materials available, sharing resources, the Marrakesh Treaty, which I hope some of you have heard about, the Treaty for the Visually Impaired that we are hoping to pass here in the United States this year, meaning now, between now and a year from now. 10 countries have ratified Marrakesh, and we need 10 more for the treaty to go into effect. That would mean a lot more access to accessible format books all over the world, not just for to benefit others. Some think that the U.S. is really going to help other countries have more access to materials, since our library system is pretty robust as far as compared to other countries. But there's a lot that we can gain for people in this country who speak other languages as well as borrowing, especially Spanish, Portuguese, things like that. So the work of the World Braille Council continues, and we talk a lot about the issues that we talk about here, about literacy rates and shortages of instructors and how do you teach people Braille and trying to deal with some of those overarching issues. While we were in São Paulo, we had an opportunity to visit the Dorwina Noel Foundation. Dorwina was a blind woman in the 1940s. Well, she was actually around till 2010, but when she was young, there were no services for people who were blind in Brazil. And in 1946, she organized a foundation that was ultimately named after her and started providing rehabilitation services and services for children in São Paulo and all throughout Brazil. So we visited the foundation. They actually have audio description for television in Brazil. They have technology, of course. They have a pretty robust library service and recording studio program. And all because of the work of a pretty amazing woman in 1946 who worked for over 50 years building a foundation so that Brazil would have services for the blind. So I was immensely impressed with her. Just her story was incredible. Sometimes we think that life is a little challenging here, but it's pretty amazing to think that one person started a whole service delivery system for all of the blind people in Brazil, and that's really what she did. So I was very impressed with our tour of that foundation. And they invited me to become a patron of their library, which I was very excited about because I have a fairly good number of people in southeastern Massachusetts who live in Fall River and New Bedford that are Portuguese, speak Portuguese, about 400 of them actually, who are patrons of my library in Massachusetts. So we're going to start sharing some resources between the two libraries, which I'm very excited about. So I want to turn this back over to Brian because he wanted to talk a little bit about technology and what he saw in Brazil and some other things that he's dealt with technology.
One of the things that really matters as we travel internationally is many countries believe that somehow we must have the magic wand. We're the United States. If there's anything to be had, it can be had in the United States. all those blind, wonderful blind people in the United States have access to quality education, to rehabilitation, to technologies, because we see it on TV. And so when I've traveled in the name of ACB over the years, and I've been doing this for 30 plus years, I did things like go to Greece and work at the Lighthouse for the Blind in Athens and the School for the Blind in Thessaloniki. And they thought I was going to be able to bring them great new technologies. And I walked through the door and looked at their computers. They were every bit as modern as the ones I had back home. And this was the same in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Now, mind you, it's a huge country, and we were seeing the most urban of urban parts of that country. If clearly you lived 300 miles outside of town, you were going to be struggling a little bit more with access to technology than if you lived in town and had access to that. But they use JAWS. They use NVDA. They use Zoom text and magic, just like we do. But many fewer people have access to it there. The exchange rate for technology is pretty amazing. Here, a dollar down there is worth three times as much as it's worth here, which means the reverse is true. Anything we buy for $1,000, they would have to pay the equivalent of $3,000 for the same thing. So it is very much like we experience here. Those who can afford it do have amazing things. Those who can't, don't. And they struggle with the same thing that we do here. I know I've been listening to many events here at the California Council the past couple of days, and we all know that change is both a good thing and a tough thing to deal with. So no sooner do you buy into doing things one way than somebody invents a different way to do it. And you get to go out and rebuy the next solution. You know, I've yet to get my iPhone 6S, and it's not going to happen for another year and a half when my contract runs out, right? So we all experience that, and they certainly do there as well. Now, no sooner did we get back from our trip to Brazil than we took a brief trip down to another strange, exotic place, Montgomery, Alabama. They speak strange down there. I'm not sure what the language is, but they speak strange down there. Alabamian, yeah. Sounds like it comes from the Caribbean, doesn't it? But very, very nice people, exotic foods, you know, things like grits and stuff like that. But nonetheless, we got a chance to go there, and that's unfortunately where I contracted my cellulitis, so that's why I'm hobbling around right now. But no sooner, so when people hear that we go to these exotic places, I want to assure you that ACB leadership at every level, for every time we get to go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, five times we got to go to great places like Pittsburgh, Kansas. You didn't know there was a Pittsburgh, Kansas, did you? Pittsburgh, Kansas. What was that place? There's a town that crosses the Arkansas-Texas border. Texarkana. Texarkana, right? I gave a speech with one foot in Texas and one in Arkansas one time. Once I gave my speech on one side of the pool in the lobby while all the conventioneers were on the other side of the pool in the lobby.
That's cool.
One time the banquet was chili dogs. We all got a cut down cardboard box and went through a cafe line where you got to have one hot dog or three, with or without chili, with or without beans, with or without peppers, with or without Fritos. Yeah, it was haute cuisine, you know, real fancy food stuff. But it's been fun. It's been fun. My favorite speaking opportunity, I think, was in the state of Vermont when they held their state convention on a boat, on a ferry boat that normally carried cars from one side of the lake to the other. And I was the luncheon speaker, and we're there, and we've got these big diesel engines going, and we get about midway across the lake when the president taps me on the shoulder and says, "You're going to speak." Now, as soon as you hear the engines turn off, that's your cue to speak. And you'll know when you're to stop when the engines come back on, because they're going to turn them back on when we've drifted so far that we're in trouble, okay? So make your speech divisible by that kind of time. So we get to do some great things as ACB leaders. And one of the things we did most recently, and then I'll pass it over to Kim, was we get an opportunity to interact with people in a variety of different roles over a variety of many, many years. So you heard the other day that our former executive director, Melanie Brunson, is now working in a different capacity, right? She's working for the BVA, Blinded Veterans Association. And so we'll get to interact with her in that new role. Well, there's another name that we've heard in ACB for many, many years, and that is a gentleman formerly from WGBH Television, Larry Goldberg. All of that history of audio-described television, a great deal of that under the leadership of Larry Goldberg. Well, Larry doesn't work there anymore. He is the head of accessibility for a little company called Yahoo. Oh. And while out in Boston, because Larry took that job with one requirement, he didn't want to have to move out of Boston. Of course, Yahoo's out this direction, you know. So they allowed him to set up offices in one of their marketing offices in downtown Boston, and we got to go visit their accessibility lab the other day. And it was wonderful. You know, Larry was very much involved in closed captioning. That was his number one thing when he first got started, and then it expanded into this audio description thing. So when we went to Yahoo, it came as no surprise that there were a number of deaf individuals present and representatives of companies associated with deafness-related activities. And certainly the first half or two-thirds of the presentation was all about how Yahoo is dealing with captioning. What percentage of Yahoo video content is captioned? Anybody have a guess?
80%.
99% is captioned. Now, the fact of the matter is that when you see one video and you see it's captioned, that doesn't mean you assume that all the others are. So you might not experience this as a nearly 100% captioned. So naturally, those who were blind in the room or representing blindness agencies were waiting, you know, it's really wonderful to see these captions on the big screen up there, Larry, but what you got it for me? And I wish that Jeff and Mitch had been there, because what they demonstrated was the effort they went through to make Yahoo Fantasy Football accessible.
It is.
They went in and rewrote every tag to every control and every button through the entire system so that if you were to access it utilizing alt tags, those techie people out there, and all the appropriate tagging, it's not going to say that this button is a dash. They're going to say this is to delete a player. So they carefully went through all of it and made those modifications. And I'm telling you, I think people were more involved in the demonstration of that part of things in accessibility than they were about captioning of the New York Times video collection. So I'm going to turn it over to Kim, because she was there as well.
I was. I didn't pay a lot of attention to the fantasy football stuff, though. But we're very proud of Larry and the work he's doing with the marketing group at Yahoo. That's about 100 employees in the Boston area. One of the other issues that ACB is getting more actively involved in an advisory role as well, is access to medical devices and trying to get those devices to be accessible. Most folks, I think, are pretty familiar with the work ACB's done in the area of accessible prescription labels. But there are a lot of medical devices that are really low-end devices. For example, a peak flow meter. How many of you know if you have asthma or any kind of breathing issue, you have to use a peak flow meter? It registers your breathing capacity. And they just give those things away. That they're fairly inexpensive. But an accessible peak flow meter costs over $1,000. Just like the blood pressure cuff, a talking blood pressure cuff. You know, they have those. Those are fairly inexpensive, but to get a talking one, it's over $200. So ACB has, Eric Bridges represents ACB on a task force with the medical device industry, where we're starting to talk to them about the accessibility of devices. Sometimes you have to have antibiotics, and they kind of put them in an IV and a pump, and then they'll send you home, and 24 hours you're supposed to come back, but you're supposed to monitor that, or a heart monitoring system if you have any kind of cardiac issues. So there's a lot of equipment out there that is really meant to be used by the end user, but is not accessible to us, and could very well have, you may need to use some of that equipment sometime in your life. So that's an area where ACB is getting more involved, because healthcare and independence go hand in hand. There's some work that ACB has done that I'm very proud of, and it was a structured negotiation from about four or five years ago with Sue Amater and the Health Issues Task Force, and it was with the American Cancer Society to provide accessible format materials through the American Cancer Society for people who have been diagnosed with cancer or have family members who have cancer. And I worked on that project with Sue, and it was, I thought, very, very important. And I didn't realize how important it was going to be until 2 years ago. 2 years ago in my life, two major things happened. I was elected the 11th president of the American Council of the Blind, which has been an incredible opportunity and experience for me to work with all of our members all across the country. And the other thing that happened to me was I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm very happy to report that I am in full remission as of 1 year, and am very pleased about that. Thank you. And I know how many lives are touched by cancer of all types. My colleague in Massachusetts, Marcia Dresser, just passed away a week ago from pancreatic cancer. And I know many of you in this room are breast cancer survivors or other kinds of cancer survivors or have someone in your family. So the work that ACB does in this area is incredibly important. And I want to acknowledge Linda Perrell for her work with the Breast Cancer Support Group for ACB. She and Lori Sharp from New York coordinate a group for women who are blind from all over the country who are going through or have finished or need that extra support as they go through their lives as a breast cancer survivor or are going through treatment. And that helped me at the times when I was able to drop in on their support group. And Linda, you do great work, and I really, really commend you for keeping that group going. It's very important to those women who are involved. So thank you for that.
Do you want to talk and then I'll wrap up?
Yeah, Kim said I get to say one more word.
Maybe more than one, but.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi. All right, so again, people don't realize all of the things that ACB has been involved with over the years, and that have changed the lives of many, many people. Step out of this building, and you won't have to go very far before you find a little thing called detectable warnings. Who do you suppose had anything to do with that? It wasn't well-intentioned engineers that came up with that, ladies and gentlemen. It was people stepping off curb cuts that they didn't even know were there that made that happen. And they have three letters in common, ACB. Right. When you stand at an intersection, when I was a kid, when you stood at an intersection, you just kind of stood there and you listened for that traffic signal go click, click, click. You could hear the timer inside the pole, and that's how you could tell when it came on and off. But for that matter, there wasn't so much traffic then. Then I moved to Massachusetts 30 years ago, and I learned how to do orientation the hard way. But there, I came across my first true audible traffic signals. And now, they're available virtually anywhere. It's so important that you remember that what made that happen was not a genie. It was somebody called the American Council of the Blind. When you go to a talking ATM machine, when you go to that talking ATM machine and you still have access to banking, that didn't happen by accident. That was an ACB initiative that made that happen. When college students can turn to disabled student services and say, I have this textbook this crazy professor wants me to do, and it's not accessible to me, I need your help. The reason that kind of thing exists for college students today is because ACB members demanded it for themselves and for their scholarship recipients, like the ones we honored here this evening. There are many, many reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that you should be proud to be associated with the American Council of the Blind and its affiliates. It's all those men and women who worked before you that made your lives a bit easier. It's all the work that you're doing today that will make the lives of future generations a little bit more embracing, whether it be education, employment, social engagement. All of those aspects of life are better today because of ACB, and they'll be better tomorrow because of ACB. And I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come enjoy your fellowship and participate in this evening's event with the first female president of the American Council of the Blind, Kim Charlson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to add that CCB has been there all the way and has been so supportive and really a trailblazer in this advocacy effort that ACB and CCB are true partners. And so many of the settlement agreements and other activities that we've been engaged in got their start here with CCB. So you should all be incredibly proud of your organization because you are all trailblazers and making a true difference in the world. So thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you this weekend and enjoy your hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Let's hear it for the Charlestons. They will be, yes. They will be going out early tomorrow, so this evening is your last opportunity. So we really thank them for all the presentations that they've done this weekend. One more time, let's hear it for both of them. Okay, Frank, back to you.
Thank you very much.
We got some raffles and stuff, right?
All right, well, let me put it to you this way. I want to take a little poll here. Clap your hands if you have a raffle ticket in your pocket. And now it's time to find out something about those raffle tickets. So if you have, if your group has a raffle, stand up so that we can get you brought up here and you can start drawing because we're all getting really excited. Okay, we have first of all, I think we're gonna recognize Judy Wilkinson with the California Library Users of America.
Kim, may I have your portable mic for a second?
Grabbing it.
It's right behind Brian.
Is it on? How do I?
They'll turn it on. Just give it a moment.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Just push the button.
Let me see it.
Push the button.
Is this you, Frank?
This me?
No,
I think it's
you.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Wrong voice.
Thank you. Okay. I am so proud of Kahlua. We have sold for our raffle some 625 tickets. Now, I'm going to ask
the Kahlua board member Pam Metz to reach into this big Ziploc bag and pick out a ticket for the fourth prize, which is some Braille books. Just grab a ticket.
I got one in my hand.
You got one? Is it Braille? Does it have Braille on it or print?
Braille.
It has Braille. And it says, it says Tom L. Now, who could that be? Leslie, Tom, I'll get in touch with you about the Braille. Mr. Welty, an avid Kahlua member, could you please reach a ticket for the third prize, which is a Bookshare membership? Does it have Braille on it or print?
It has flat Braille.
Not Braille? It has flat not Braille. So I need somebody to read this not Braille. Jean Andros.
Okay. We know who that is.
She is a Kahlua member. Now, I'm looking for the first lady of the ACB. There she is.
Now, a librarian.
Yes, and what you're going to get for the second prize is $100. And I want you to know the first dude has $10 on this. It doesn't have Braille. It's a not Braille.
Jean Andros again.
Oh. Well, I think that's
That's okay. They bought a ticket.
You know, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Now, could I ask the Lua president, please, to draw the first prize, which is a Victor Reader stream. And if it's Jean Andros, she's already got one. So, no. Dig deep.
I got one, and it is Braille this time.
Ooh. Do you want me to read it, or will you read it?
I'm going to make sure I've got it right side up.
Well, it's hard. It's hard.
It should have a number sign.
No, it's a name.
First initial P, last name Metz.
Oh, my God! I'm going to give the mic back.
All right.
Everybody bought tickets.
Now we're going to have from Guide Dog Users of California, we're going to have Charlene Ornelas.
Hey, Charlene.
I've got one. Okay, the total that we took in was $310. So on the 50-50, the first place is going to get $155. Now, we found out the first couple of numbers on your tickets, the Braille and the print, don't match. But the good news is the last four do. Since we only are calling four numbers, no problem. We also have ended up with a fourth prize, which I will start off with. The fourth prize winner will get a stuffed dog. It would be like a black lab, and that is from Guiding Eyes. Our outgoing president from Gadak will draw the first ticket. Remember, you have to be present, and everybody's told that.
I saw that puppy. He's real cute.
I did two. I want that too.
Are you ready? 2-5-7-7.
I think I'll take it.
But do you have a 2-5-7-7?
Yes, sir.
Let's see it.
God.
Let's see it.
You've been lucky this week.
Let's see it.
Okay. There it is.
Okay. It's the president of GDUC.
Who wants it?
I'll take it.
Thank you.
You got it. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Our second, our third place prize is going to be the folding headset. And I'm going to have the new incoming president go ahead and draw that ticket. Just don't mix it with yours.
I'm holding this picture so tight.
Do I read it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as I don't mix it up with my ticket, right?
Yeah. We know yours was 2577.
2-5. Wait, I'm going to let Frank look. Let's see it with the neuropathy. I want to make sure that's a 7 yeah, or is.
I'll
or,
check.
Here you go, Frank.
Okay.
That's
I know. But.
Okay, it is 2501.
That's what I thought. But I wanted to be sure.
I'm checking.
2501.
Who's me?
Sarah Harris.
Okay. Okay. The headphones are in my room because I wasn't sure where I would put them while we eat. I can bring them to the same will happen with the cart. I can bring it tomorrow to the meetings tomorrow, to the session, or I can bring it to the hospitality room, or I'll deliver it to your room. Okay, the second prize is that shopping cart. It's a bag it has on a frame with wheels, and they're really neat. They fold. So I'm going to have Brian choose that one.
And the number is... Hold on, let me get down.
The number in New York is...
2800. 2800.
Oh. All right, Mitch.
Who's that?
Mitch. Yay, Mitch.
Oh, it's Mitch.
Oh, my gosh. What did he win?
Okay. We still have one more. And we got a
this
lovely...
This is the one that's going to go to me.
Okay. No, you're going to have to blame this one on Kim. And this one I will deliver because I have it with me.
The shopping bag.
This is the big box.
That would be moi.
Oh my God!
Moi.
Okay. Moi will get it. Congratulations.
The winning stopped with you.
Fixed.
Congratulations, Vita.
That's Vita's money. That ain't mine. Vita getting there.
155. Very good. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, I can hold that for you there.
Frank Welty will not be able to continue. He's in shock.
All right. Are there any other drawings tonight, or is that it? No more drawings. Now remember, though, we do have a drawing coming up in December. What is it called? The Big Bucks Sweepstakes in December. So if you haven't got tickets yet, it's not too late. The Big Bucks Bonanza. And for those of you that bought San Francisco chapter tickets, that's going to be in 2 weeks. All right. You know what? I'm at the end of my agenda. I guess that means we have to quit. Thank you, everybody, for coming to this convention. It's been a long wait to get back here, hasn't it? Thank you, everybody, for participating. Thank you for being here tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And let's have a great evening, and let's get some business done tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Let's hear it for Frank Welty.
420. Yep.
Remember, we have hospitality, okay. And for those few idiots like me, you may want to go to resolutions. But the rest of you, hospitality. Warner Center Suite.